Hi, this is Cheryl Grayson, wide receiver with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, four-time NCAA champ, seven-time NCAA All-American at LSU, and now Super Bowl champion. You're listening to Pro Sports Podcasters, and who's not listening to Pro Sports Podcasters?
Welcome all sports fans. On this podcast, no sport is left behind. I'm Justin Williams.
I'm Cabrera Ron, and this is our brother from Down Under,
me, Wallace Bruce.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters,
filling you in on the latest news from the world of sports.
Welcome back to the Pro Sports Podcasters, and before we begin our UFC 263 preview, I just want to say I'm loving the fact that the fans are really coming out. They're leaving comments on Twitter. They're contacting us on Instagram. We love the feedback. It really helps us kind of prepare for what we want to do next in our show. And if you can, go that extra step. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a like on whatever podcast platform you use. We'd really appreciate it. But today, Justin and I are talking UFC 263. Justin, how you doing?
Oh my God, I'm so good and so excited. How about you, good sir?
I'm amped, buddy. I'm amped. This is one of the better cards in a while. I've been looking forward to this one. It's kind of interesting in that really it's a makeup of classic UFC bouts where you've got submission specialists versus strikers. It's got some heated sort of stories going on because you have a couple of revenge matches that are on this card. And more importantly, for the first time ever, we are going to have 3 5-round fights. The first ever non-main event 5-rounder, and that is Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards. But let's begin at the bottom of the card. I don't really want to talk the preliminaries right now. That's something we can bring up on our different social medias. We're going to go with the main card only, and it starts with Paul Craig versus Jemahal Hill. What do you think of that?
Well, just to kind of undo what you just said there for really quick,
sure.
I find it's a bit of a disrespect in the early prelims that Chase Hooper is fighting there. He's 10-1-1. He's a dominant force. He had that one slip-up fight against Alex Correquez or whatever his name is. I don't think Chase Hooper should be there. I'm a little disappointed, but I'm happy that he's on the card regardless. That's my thought for that.
Yeah. The thing is, it's such a stacked card, right? It's so stacked. There's only so many bouts you can put on the main event. And the fact that they scheduled an extra 5-rounder, somebody ends up getting bumped to the preliminaries, and that's the case. But I mean, hopefully they respect him later as a result of this. If he puts together a good showing, maybe he ends up on the main event in the next card he's on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So even the early prelims are good. Like, that should have been the main early prelim event. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
But anyways, talking about
Paul Craig versus the Dana White Contender Series champion, Jemahal Hill.
Buddy, this is going to be such a fun contest. So we have obviously Hill with 8-0 with one no contest, and Craig is 14-4. So Craig is the veteran. But when you look at these two styles, first off, they're light heavyweights. So they're coming in at 205, which light heavyweight division is just picking up steam and heat. And oh my God, it's so much fun to watch. Now, I feel like Hill's style of fighting, just the way he can maneuver in that ring, it's like he was born there. I saw him in when he was fighting what's his face, the Preux guy, Preux, how do you fight his name, like TKO'd him in the second round, just disgusting, right? And then when he took on Darko, right, that went to decision, but that was a slugfest the whole way through. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, something I've noticed when it comes to these contender series fighters, generally, they're very exciting fighters because that's what Dana's looking for, right? That's what the whole Dana White Contender Series is all about. It's about finding guys that will immediately electrify the crowd when they step up and face some stiffer competition than the UFC. And for the most part, Dana wants to see these guys do well. Okay, he does. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I've really noticed is that there's a lot to be said for the amount of time you spend in the octagon under the bright lights. The Contender Series is a good sort of eliminator for who's got real skill versus who hasn't. But when it comes to the preparation involved for a UFC match, some of these guys just aren't ready. Now, you can get by on skill alone, but in this case, you've got a volume striker in Hill against a submission specialist in Paul Craig. And Paul Craig's been in the UFC for a number of fights. He's faced some classically tough competition. Most of the guys he's faced are kind of toward the end of their career, so this is sort of the first young hotshot he'll be up against. But I have a feeling that his octagon knowledge and his amount of time he's spent there, this could be the deciding factor. Hill is a definite favorite, correct?
Oh, God, yes. He's just running the card right now. So if we look at Hill, Hill is 136 to 310.
Okay.
It's not even fair.
So he's a heavy favorite, but he's still a favorite. And I think this is an opportunity where, looking at the numbers there, it might be worth putting a decision victory, or even more so, a submission victory for Paul Craig. What are you getting on a submission victory for Paul Craig?
You know what's funny? So Paul Craig, to win by, it's not just submission. They wouldn't give us that option, but they give us Paul Craig to win by KO, TKO, DQ, or submission.
Okay.
450.
See, that's such a great number. That's such a great number, because this guy's a finisher, right? That's literally what he does. There's only two ways I see this fight ending. It is not going to the distance, okay? This will not go the distance.
Yes.
This is either a submission victory for Paul Craig or a knockout for Jamahal Hill. Okay, that's it. This is not going the full three rounds. And it's possible that it doesn't even go beyond one because of how their skills match up. I like Paul Craig as a possible spoiler here for the new kid.
I was going to say, so I put a dollar down for us.
Okay.
Just because the odds were too good not to. And fun fact, it says, will the fight go the distance? Yes, at 340. No, for $1.28. So even Vegas is like, nah, they're not going the distance.
Exactly. This is not going to happen, right? It's just not going to happen. Too much a volume striker versus a submission artist. Like this is not going the distance.
And I was just looking at Craig's history too. His last few fights, he actually won by TKO. So I'm like, oh my.
Yeah, but you got to look at who they're against. These are guys at the end of their careers. These are guys with a lot of scar tissue.
Yeah.
Like their chins are gone, right? He's not knocking out Hill. That's not happening. But there's a good chance he could submit Hill. I don't even think Hill's really faced a true submission artist like him before. So this could be something where not having that experience plays against him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what's great about that is right after that bout, we have the same style bout.
But we have our boy.
Bilal Muhammad coming back from the eye poke that he suffered to Leon Edwards, who's also on this card.
This is his third fight this year, and I think his third fight in 3 months.
Bilal is nuts.
He's insane. Like, he deserves to be essentially in the co-main is what it is, because there's 3 5-minute rounds at this point. So I'm calling it the co-main.
And the thing I love about Bilal is that he's literally just a bully.
That's it.
He just comes at you. He just comes at you. He disrespects whatever style you have. But in this case, he's going against who might be the number one submission stylist in the UFC of all time.
Right. Okay. So looking at just the past fights right now, Maya fought Gilbert Burns, who is a number one, he's a contender for the title.
Well, yeah, he just came off his title match with Kamaru Usman.
Exactly. So, okay. So Maya lost him. Fine. Which is great. But he's also beaten Ben Askren, which, mind you, Ben Askren was kind of at like the, in 2019, was at the backside of his career.
Yeah, he was in the I don't want to do this anymore stage.
Yeah, he was, I think, writing out his contract. He was still drawing fans, but he was just, Ben Askren was just, it was his second loss. Ben Askren's like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then he beat Martin by decision, and then he beat Lehman Good by submission. So two submissions and a decision in 2019.
But when you're looking at those names, though, okay, those names?
Yeah.
This is not the kind of competition that Damian Maya was used to facing earlier in his career.
Well, this is what I'm about to say. In 2018, he fought Kamaru Usman and went the distance.
Correct.
5 rounds decision.
You're talking about a guy who fought Anderson Silva for the middleweight championship. This is a guy who's been through it. This is a true veteran, one of the last 100% submission stylist. Damian Maia is not a mixed martial artist. He is 100% a Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist. Maybe the best to ever fight in the UFC. But he was never a mixed martial artist, and I think this is his last fight in the UFC. This is the last fight in his contract.
Yeah. Well, he probably slid over to Bellator.
Right? This kind of fighter does not get re-signed by the UFC. It doesn't happen. So I think this is literally his goodbye match, which means he's going to fight his ass off. But I don't think that's enough to beat Bilal Muhammad.
You know what's funny? I still consider Bilal like new to the sport. However, he has 22 fights under his belt. Oh, yeah. And I'm still like, he's new. But I'm like, versus like 38 against Maya. I feel like I'm throwing dirt on Bilal, but at the same time, I love Bilal. Like, I want Bilal to win this fight.
I think he will. I think this is a case of, so Damian Maya, his specialty is to close distance any way he can, take you down, take your back, and then slap in a rear naked. That's literally what he does. Okay, that's the method of victory for Damian Maya. But where he's had trouble is in strong takedown specialists that prevent him from doing so. People who can control distance, like he couldn't do anything to Anderson Silva because of Anderson Silva's distance control. But then later on in his career, what really kind of reduced his effectiveness is the fact that he could close distance, get guys down, but he didn't have the strength anymore to overpower them and sink in the rear naked. Mm-hmm. Basically, stronger fighters could just hand fight him and eventually spin and take top position or wait out the round, get back to standing, and then land a solid blow, and that's it. Because, again, this guy's chin has been tested for too many years. He's in his 40s. I can't remember how old he is.
I'm on it. 43.
43, right? This is it, man. This is the end. So you look at Bilal Muhammad, that guy is powerful. He is built.
Yeah.
So I think even if Damian Maya takes him down, I don't think he can get the submission. And if he doesn't get the submission, his only method of victory is to basically take him down every single round, try and attain back control, and just control him for a decision. Like that's the only other way I think he could win this. And again, I don't think he's strong enough to do so. I think this is Bilal Muhammad all the way. What kind of odds are they giving?
So just for outright, essentially,
sure.
You have Bilal Muhammad at 144 and then Maya's at 275.
Okay. So they're actually making this a little closer than the Paul Craig Jamahal Hill match, but I just think no way. That's a respect to Damian Maya's submission skills. That's what that is. That's the respect to his grappling game. But I think Bilal Muhammad is just too strong to get controlled that way.
Do we want to put a bet on this fight?
I do not. If it wasn't the last fight on his contract, I'd say, yeah, go ahead and bet Bilal Muhammad. But because it's the last fight in his contract, you figure he's going to give it all.
The die on that hill kind of deal?
Yeah.
So for Maya to win by TKO, KO, DQ, or submission, it's 450.
Yeah, because it's going to be hard for him to do so.
Yeah.
Right? I honestly think his best shot of winning is decision. But he could get it, right? It all comes down to whether or not Bilal's able to escape his grappling.
And the thing is, even if it comes down to decision, I feel like that wouldn't really impact Bilal Mahal's standings. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because it's Damian Maya. This is a crazy test for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you better be ready to defend the grapple or you could be in trouble. But I just think he's too strong.
I think so too. Bilal's just a beast. And he wanted to keep fighting after his eye poke for the most part. But the doctor was like, no. And he's like, I can't see, but it's all good.
Your eye's about to pop out. So no, that's not going to happen. All right. And now we get into, it's not a main event, but it kind of is.
It's the Coco. We just talked about the Coco. Now we're in the Coco.
Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz. This is a fight I wanted to see. As soon as it was announced, I'm like, this is awesome.
Oh, but he's not a needle mover.
Yeah. So I think Leon Edwards really gets disrespected by the UFC to a large degree.
To a fault.
If you look down his, let's say, last 8 fights, Leon Edwards is the guy that whenever there's an up-and-comer who looks dangerous in the division, he's the guy that says, okay, I'll fight him. There are guys above him ranked higher that are like, no, I'm not fighting that guy. He doesn't deserve me yet. I'm ranked whatever. They just try to avoid those potentially bad losses for themselves. Where Leon, it seems like he just never says no.
Oh, yeah.
every up-and-comer. As soon as someone looks dangerous, they're like, oh, who can get to fight him? They ask around. No, he's not worth it yet. Maybe after he makes a couple more victories, he'll deserve a shot at me. Then they call Leon, and he's like, yeah, when do you want to go? And time and time again, Leon, he ruins these guys' ascent. He ruins it. But because they're not ranked yet, it doesn't affect his ranking.
Right.
So he's got these wins over all these great up-and-coming fighters, but it just leaves him sitting there in one spot. I love this matchup because Nate Diaz, as much as Nate Diaz, to me, isn't really a top-ranked fighter anymore. Mm-hmm. He moves the needle. So a win over Diaz puts Leon Edwards finally in that, do I deserve a shot at the title conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Leon Edwards is going to beat Nate Diaz. Not because he's a significantly better mixed martial artist, because Nate Diaz, man, like his grappling skills, his BJJ is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't use it. He doesn't care anymore. You and I have talked about this at some other point on our show, but for those of you who didn't catch it, I've made this comment before. Nate Diaz is one of the only fighters in the UFC that benefits just as much from a loss as a win.
Oh, he's entertaining.
Correct. His whole job, every time he signs a contract to step into the cage, is self-promotion.
Well, yeah, because he was screwed so early on by UFC. Remember that 20 for 20? It was bull. 20 to show up, 20 to win?
Yeah, but he doesn't care about winning anymore. He doesn't. His job is to get in there, do what he does, which is
put a show and scrap pack.
Mug his opponent, flip him off a few times, slap him a few times, throw together some crazy combinations, bleed all over the cage because he's got so much scar tissue now. One shot to the face, he starts bleeding. But look tough. He's the tough guy. Mm-hmm. And that's what his fans want to see. I don't even think his fans don't care if he wins or loses as long as he does it in a Nate Diaz fashion. So because of that, there's a lot less riding on this fight for Diaz than there is Edwards. For Edwards, it's like, finally, they've given me somebody that people want to see. And if I beat this guy, it's memorable.
Mm-hmm.
His most memorable fight is, I think it's his last fight, which is against Bilal Muhammad. But it's only because, one, he was willing to fight Bilal Muhammad. And two, because of the eye poke.
That nasty, nasty eye poke.
But then, you know, you ask somebody, who else has Leon Edwards fought? They're like, oh, I know he's fought a lot of guys. But they never really know. Because he doesn't get those marquee matches because the guys above him, they don't want to fight him either.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't want to fight him either because then their excuse is, well, who has he fought? Oh, a bunch of these up-and-coming guys that, you know, they never really proved themselves. He doesn't deserve a shot at me. But here's a situation where if he beats Nate Diaz, there's so much on it. If he beats him and makes a point about talking about beating him and gets in Dana White's face and it's like, give me a shot, I think they have to really consider it or at least give him somebody in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really big for Edwards. Could Diaz win this fight? Sure, he could. Because again, he's a phenomenal mixed martial artist. I just don't think he cares enough to do it.
You're right. I don't think he's making a title run. I think he's almost accepted his fate as like a somewhat of a journeyman. Where he's kind of like, all right, show me what you got kind of deal. You want to make top 10? Go through me. I feel like Nate will sit around top 15 the rest of his career in UFC.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the gatekeeper journeyman at this point, like Clay Guida. Oh,
and a super fight guy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, all right.
Anybody with a name, I'll take him because it's good for me.
Yeah. So Nate is now, and I don't want to say that he's not in the prime of his career, but he's in the prime money-making part of his career.
Correct.
I wouldn't even be surprised if he like messes around and maybe jumps a division just for the fun of it if somebody calls him out.
The fact that he gets the opportunity, like, so first of all, they didn't want this fight to be on this card because they figured it was stacked enough already.
Mm-hmm.
But Nate wanted to be on this card because it's stacked.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons why this fight landed on this card. Secondly, the fact that it's the first non-main event fight that's five rounds, I mean, that's Nate's doing.
Yeah,
exactly. I want a full five rounds to show off if I can. Right? This is all Nate just self-promoting himself. But I think Leon's too good, man. He's too good. He's too smart. He's not going to fall for Nate's bullshit. He's too good. And he needs this. He's got to be just itching for this.
So it's funny you say this. The odds in Vegas, Leon Edwards, $1.20. Nate Diaz, $4.50.
Well, yeah. So yeah, they think so too, right? They know Nate doesn't care. And another thing that I've mentioned this before too, but I'll say it again, is Nate Diaz is not a welterweight.
Mm-mm.
He's not. Nate Diaz is a lightweight. He's best at lightweight. That's where he dominates people. But he doesn't fight at lightweight anymore because that involves a weight cut.
And he's just, yeah, he's not about it. He's 36 years old. He's just like, ah.
He practically walks around at welterweight. So, you know, maybe he has to lose 5 pounds. He's like, oh, okay, I can skip some rope for a few days and I'll be good.
Yeah, and like, oh, 2 meals a day? All right, if I must.
Yeah, I'll cut down one. Exactly, right? He doesn't, you know, so it's just, it's easy for him. There's very little work involved. Leon Edwards is a true welterweight. So when this fight begins, trust me, Edwards is going to be a good 15 to 20 pounds heavier than Diaz.
How do you think this fight's going to end?
Referee stoppage.
So if you say that and bet a dollar, you win $2.02. Are you down for that?
Sure.
All right. So Leon Edwards to win by KO, TKO, DQ, or submission.
Yes.
$2.20, my bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So our fans know this is something that we do to prove that we don't just talk at our asses. Okay.
Yeah. We actually lay our dollars.
A bet that we believe in will actually make it. Sure, it's for the minimum, but it's we make it to say that this is something we truly believe in.
And I just want to remind fans, bet what you can afford to lose. We could bet more. We could do $5, $10, $15, $20 if we want, but we're very conservative with our money. We do it just for fun and just for like just gags. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And with a dollar, sometimes we'll get crazy with it. Like right now, I see Nate Diaz to win by KO, TKO, DQ, or submission is $7. So if I bet a dollar on that, worst case scenario is I walk out with 20 cents profit.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm almost tempted to do that because either way, I'm going to win unless it goes to decision. And then I lose $2. But there again, I only lost $2. So bet what you can afford to lose.
That's right. The favorable odds they're giving you makes it very tempting.
And I kind of want to. I'm like, maybe he just takes a knee to the face. He pulls a the Masvidal did to Askren. Just jump knee to the face. And
No, he won't do that.
I know, but
that's not Diaz's way. Diaz likes to slap you around a bit. Volume strike you. The only way Diaz wins, this, honestly, is submission.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason Edwards is on top of him and not being smart about it, Diaz could throw up a triangle or something and submit him. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. But I just don't see it happening.
I'm not going to bet on it, but fans, I wouldn't be sad if you did. I'm just saying it's a decent bet.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join the Pro Sports Podcasters Facebook group where you will be able to interact with the hosts and talk to other sports fans. Now back to the show.
All right, so now let's get into our co-main. It's the first of the revenge fights.
Oh my God, this one. I have issues with this fight.
The Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno. We saw this before.
Yes.
And Figueiredo basically lost a majority draw due to a groin strike.
Correct.
A vicious one. It was pretty harsh. Now, it was accidental. So, I mean, it wasn't on purpose. It was obviously accidental. But that's what made the difference. And to be fair, Moreno was looking really good for the first couple of rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. But as that fight went on, it started to become Figueiredo's, but that groin strike made the difference. I expect a very different fight. I expect the superior mixed martial arts skills of Davison Figueiredo to start round one.
Mm-hmm.
And although Moreno is a very good striker, I just think the full game of Figueiredo gets showed off here and he dominates this match.
I agree. Figueiredo is going to take this. It's not even going to go past the second, maybe third round. It's not going all 5 rounds. It's just not. Now, here's my issue with when they fought last time. Do you know how many times Figueiredo fought in the year 2020 with the pandemic?
I'm not sure, no.
He fought 4 times.
Okay.
So he was tired. His fight before that, it was November 21st, and then he fought December 12th. Like, the man barely had time to rest. So he was tired going into it. He could say he was good. He probably was. He was probably 90%, maybe 95%, but he wasn't 100%.
He was also sick during his mini camp.
Yeah, exactly, right? So even at best, we'll say he was 90%. I forgot he was sick, actually. Thank you for reminding me. So 90%, and he still got draw. Okay, fine. So now you have a guy who's, hopefully he's better. He's not sick during training camp. This is his first fight of 2021. He's going to come in there, guns a-blazing. He's going to dominate. It's going to be a poop show.
Yeah, I think he underestimated Moreno a little bit, too. I think he was willing to take that next fight on short notice because he looked at his previous fights and thought, oh, he's just a basic striker. I'm going to pick this guy apart. But then, yeah, factoring in that he was probably a little bit tired, not to mention he was sick during the mini camp, all of that plays a factor. This time, he's not going to underestimate anything. He's going to study the film. And Moreno is very
There's nothing sort of unorthodox about his style. He's a very crisp, standard, basic sort of striker. So that's nothing that Davison hasn't faced before. I think he picks him apart. I don't know if this goes a distance. It might, because Moreno's a tough guy. But I imagine Figueiredo is going to win, if it goes a distance, 4 or 5 rounds.
So a lot of Moreno's fights have gone the distance. There's only a few of them where he's actually won by TKO in UFC history, anyways. So that might be Moreno's only defense, is going the distance with Figueiredo, because it's proven somewhat profitable with the draw. Now, I don't think Figueiredo is going to make that happen. I remember watching this guy fight against, what's his face? That poor guy who can never win, who's always like the number one, number two. Benavidez, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
All 8 of his losses have come from champions. Like, he gets to the throne and gets kicked off the throne. It's like, you're like the Chicago Cubs. You're a lovable loser.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I don't see this fight going the distance.
Really? I think it'll go the distance. I think there's a good chance it'll go the distance. But I just expect a dominant fight from Davison. And I think Moreno's maybe tough enough to go the distance, you know?
All right, let's see what Vegas says for going the distance. Hold on. If you bet on a draw again, it's 51.
That's not happening.
No, definitely not. But see, there again, odds like this, I'm like, well, maybe a nut shot can come in. Well, if I go the distance, $2.05 for no, $1.72 for yes. So Vegas agrees with you. It's going to go the distance.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet on this fight, though.
Oh, neither would I.
No, it's not going to be worth it, right?
No. Oh, God, no. No.
Now let's get into the main event. Yeah, so people talk shit about Israel Adesanya because for whatever reason, they feel like he got dominated by Jan Błachowicz. But they forget that that's at light heavyweight. That's the current light heavyweight champion. And he was a good 25 pounds heavier than when they were in the cage. And he won basically by dominating him on the ground, because it's hard to control somebody who's a good 25 pounds heavier than you.
And that's the thing. They went the distance too.
Yeah.
And that's no small feat.
Right? But people are like down on Israel because of that. They forget that, okay, this fight's back at middleweight where he's the champion. Mm-hmm. He's 20-0 at that weight class. And sure, he's fighting a guy who feels like, go on and on about how he got robbed in their first meeting. But the first meeting was back in 2018, before people really knew who Israel Adesanya was, except that he was sort of flashy in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Adesanya's coming out party, which was against Anderson Silva. That was the first, to me, real fight where we're like, okay, this guy's something special.
Correct.
Since then, he's only improved. I watch him fight after fight after fight. He just improves. He gets better.
Yeah.
Do I think Marvin Vettori has gotten better since their fight? I don't. I really don't. I think he's pretty much the same fighter. So he lost to, you know, let's say Adesanya version 1.0. But Israel Adesanya is at like 4.0 right now.
It's going to be a poop show. Like, Adesanya is just going to wreck him in ways that he didn't know he could be wrecked.
Oh, yeah. Vettori is saying that, well, I'm going to do the exact same that Błachowicz did. I'm just going to take him down. He hasn't got a good takedown defense. I'm going to control him on the ground. I'm going to pummel him, beat him up on the ground, and take the win. But Vettori won't be 25 pounds heavier than Israel Adesanya when they get there. And it's not like Adesanya hasn't been taken down by other middleweights. He has. He's been able to get back up. And that was the only difference. That was the only difference in the Błachowicz fight. He couldn't get back up.
Right. Now, keep in mind, too, like, Adesanya is a tall dude, man. Vettori, he's 6 foot. He's 183. So him and I are the same height, essentially. Adesanya is like 6'3".
With crazy reach.
Yeah. He's 1.93 meters. Dude's a beast. So it's like, yeah, okay, cool. You're facing a guy who has improved dramatically and drastically. He's taller than you, stronger than you, faster than you. Now, again, this is fighting. He could land, like, Vettori could land a proper hit and maybe shatter his jaw. I'm not saying it's not impossible. I'm saying it's very unlikely. Adesanya is a beast, but he is overconfident sometimes.
I don't think he's overconfident.
And for this fight?
I think he's just that good.
Yeah.
He's just that good. I think this is going to be like one of those highlight reel type
slugfest
type fights. Oh, I don't think it goes past the second round.
Okay. So here's what I want to talk to you about real quick. yeah. before the odds change. Who do you think is going to win?
Israel Adesanya within two rounds.
And how do you think it's going to happen?
He's going to knock him out.
If you say that, with just not even the two round thing, just the knockout, it's $3.10.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like,
that's really good odds.
Yeah, I want to take it.
No, take it before they change it.
I got excited there. I was like, yo, Izzy.
I'm surprised. They're giving 3-1.
Yeah. And then, yo, check this out. If it goes to Vittori, it's $10.
Yeah, because there's no way. He's not knocking anybody out.
And then when will this fight end? You said second round?
First or second round?
First round, $550. Second round, $750.
So they think it's more likely he gets killed in the first round. They think Adesanya is going to come out so hot that he just knocks him out in the first round. It doesn't even get to the second.
So now when I go down to decision victories, it says no scorecard, $2.05. So this is what we're talking about. You can essentially...
So you can bet on the fight just ending before it gets to the scorecard.
Yeah. So let's say we already bet on Adesanya to win 3-1 by whatever. Fine. Now if I'm... Yeah. And if we're feeling really comfortable with it, no scorecard, we get another $2 on that. Awesome. Which is something I'm not against putting down if you're willing to put another dollar down.
Yeah. That's actually... That's even a smarter bet.
Yeah.
But that's why you're getting less odds, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's really weird because they even have like round by round betting. So Adesanya to win round one is $6. Versus Adesanya to win in the first round. Like just anyone to win is 5.5.
Now hold on. Adesanya to win round two is less, isn't it?
It's $8. It's actually more.
Oh, it's more.
Yeah.
See, that's odd. That's odd because Adesanya, the one thing he tends to do is he tends to start slow in a lot of his fights. He likes to feel out his opponent in round one, get a sense for how the opponent's moving, get a sense for distance. If he figures him out quickly, he'll go for it in round one. If he doesn't, he sort of just plods, checks distance with strikes, and then round two, he comes out and he tries to exploit what he's learned.
Right.
So to me, it's more likely he wins a round two than he wins a round one, really, just looking at his history. But I think in this particular fight, he knows exactly what Vittori's all about.
Yeah.
And I think he'll have him figured out very quickly, very quick. It's going to be awesome. This will be an awesome fight.
It's going to be super fun. I'm very excited for this fight.
And we're talking about a guy, don't forget, Israel Adesanya, like we were talking about how Nate Diaz is all about the Nate Diaz show. Adesanya is very much the same way in a self-promotion, just a little differently. Diaz is about, I am Diaz, and this is what I'm about. Whereas Adesanya is, I am the best, and I'm going to show you why. So coming off that loss, he's really going to want to impress to the point where people forget he fought in light heavyweight for one fight.
Can you imagine if Vittori wins?
I can't, actually. I tried to. I closed my eyes, and I concentrated real hard. I could not picture a win with Marvin Vittori. I just couldn't picture it. I don't dislike Vittori. I really don't. I think he's a pretty decent fighter. I just think he's outmatched here. That's all it is.
Israel is essentially the Khabib Nurmagomedov. He is essentially the Khabib Nurmagomedov of this division.
Yeah.
If he didn't jump up for that one fight, he literally would be with 20-0.
Correct.
So in this division, he still technically is. In this division, he's undefeated.
That's right.
So he is the Khabib Nurmagomedov. And it's weird because you only really see that once in a while, but we've been blessed to see it twice in this generation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd say every generation has its superstars. Mm. It has its true superstars. But these fully dominant fighters, it's rare. It's a rare thing. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped for this card. I can't wait for it.
There isn't one fight I'm not excited to see. Like I said, even in early prelims, there's a fight I'm willing to see. Like, I'm excited to. And again, it's early on in the early prelims. I was like, ugh, all right.
If you have any questions for the Pro Sports Podcasters, be sure to reach us on our Twitter account, where you can also
slide into our DMs
and catch the latest snippets, dirt, and other exclusive things that we will tweet.
Check us out at P Podcasters on Twitter.